So we've been going through the book of Romans, and Romans is the core of Christian faith. It really, Romans 1 through 8 teaches us the principles of how the gospel works, why it's important, why Jesus is important, and what Jesus does. And we are now in the heart of the heart. We're looking at the redemption that Jesus brings us, the idea of being reconciled with God because of the work of Jesus Christ. And last time in chapter 5, we talked about the two federal heads. You have Adam, and Adam, underneath Adam is sin and the works of sin and separation from God. That really is, being aligned with Adam means hell. If you want to think about hell, what it is, it really is ultimately, it's a separation from God. And it's through righteousness in Jesus Christ that is what? Given to us, reckoned to us, logizomai. It is something that God gives us when we believe in Jesus Christ. So we move over from Adam to Christ. And now Christ becomes the federal head, the Lord of our life. Sometimes we talk about Jesus is my Lord, or have you made Jesus the Lord? But really what we're talking about is moving over from the first Adam to the second Adam. Moving over, and now we're living under a person who was righteous, who was perfect, who was the perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice that brought us peace, the sacrifice of atonement. He obeyed God in every way, right? And he lives. He's not dead. Praise God. He lives. He lives. One of the ways that you know that everything about Jesus is real and everything about this gospel is real is because Jesus Christ is alive. And the Spirit of God testifies to us that Jesus Christ is alive. So in Christ, instead of separation and death, there is glory and life. And so what he's done is he talked to us about, you know, moving over, in effect, from Adam to Christ. And who is the head of your life? Who is the head of your world? Most people who don't have Jesus Christ, they really have no other head but Adam. They might want to claim some other name or some other false god or something there, but ultimately, they're still under Adam, they're still under sin, they're still doing the works that are brought about by that, and they are ultimately separated from God because they have not come to Jesus Christ. The only way to come to God, the only person that can bring us to that place of reconciliation, Jesus Christ. So Adam brought us into bondage to sin and slavery to sin, and we were locked in failure, right, and condemned. Jesus offers us righteousness through faith. He offers us a whole different life. And so we come to Romans 6. We've learned that we get to be under Jesus not because we earned it, not because we worked, but because God was gracious to us. God was kind to us. We didn't earn our righteousness. It was a gift from God. It was reckoned to us by grace. So it is through faith, by grace, that we are given righteousness. And so Paul asked, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through the baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now, first, the first word, I have that Greek word there, and it actually says, you know, should we remain in sin? So here's the question. In other words, Jesus Christ has redeemed us. He's reconciled us. He's given us righteousness. And Paul, you know, but it's all by grace. There's forgiveness. There's huge forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, and walking as a Christian, is by no means you mess up once and you're done. That is not it at all. But he's asking a question. Should we remain, basically, under the same lifestyle, the same attitudes, the same problems that we had under Adam? Should we remain in sin? Should we remain as sin being, you know, our conscious choice, our desire, right? Or, you know, and why? Because, oh, there's grace. And some people, we call this easy believism, easy Christian living. The idea of, well, it doesn't really matter what you do because God will forgive you. Paul asks the question, should we stay where we were if we're in Christ? That grace may increase, and you know the word, anointing. Absolutely not. King James translates it, God forbid. But it means, you know, it's one of the strongest negations you can have in the Greek language. He says, absolutely not, by no means, because we died to sin. The other thing that he tells us is, don't you understand your relationship with Jesus Christ? Listen, we were born under Adam. We were connected to Adam, right? And now Paul says, but don't you realize you were baptized into Christ? Okay, and that's a strong word in Paul's theology, being in Christ, Christ being in us, or we being in Christ. It is this idea of joining together with him. And so much so, he says, you know, you were baptized into his death, you were buried with him through that baptism, and you were raised with him. So what we have is this idea of we were under Adam. Adam was our father. Adam, you know, gave us our instincts. Adam gave us our way of thinking, our way of living. Adam brought us to sin and brought sin into our lives and into our world. And the works of sin were destroying us, ruining us, right? And if we stay there, we end up in death. We end up in separation from God, right? But what did Jesus do? When we come to Christ, when we believe in Jesus, Adam disappears. See? We like that. Adam is gone. Adam is no longer my federal head. He's no longer the head of my life. He's no longer the Lord of my life. I am engaged now with Jesus. I am deeply engaged with him. So I was baptized into Christ. Now, this is not talking about water baptism. Water baptism can be a kind of a sign of that, and especially for adults, the adult baptism, and if you get to dunk and come up, it really is a good picture of this. But what Paul is talking about is not getting baptized in water. He's talking about being baptized into Christ, having Christ take over who you are, and Christ being in you, and Christ kind of consuming you under his headship, under his lordship. And so he says, you were baptized, you were united with Christ in his death. Now, what does that mean, right? That means when Jesus hung on that cross, when Jesus suffered for the sins of the world, he was there for me, and I was there in him. You understand? And when he died, I died. When he died, my old man died. That old sinner, he died with Jesus on the cross. And so Paul's saying, you know, should we continue to sin? He said, well, why would you? That sinner was killed with Jesus. He says, you were buried with him. That sin was stuck down in the tomb. It's dead, it's buried, and God says that he will never remember our sins anymore. Why? It's been buried. It's been dead. It's gone, right? But we also, and this is the important part then, we also raise up with Christ. We share in his death, we share in his burial, but we also share in his resurrection to a new life. There's a power in Jesus Christ. This is what we talk about in our understanding of righteousness. Righteousness is not just a declaration that you're innocent. Righteous is a new life. It's a power inside of us to do better. It's a power inside of us to stand up in Christ, Christ in us, and to live a better life. And that's what Paul's trying to make us realize. He says, listen, you know, do I want to live under, you know, pattern of Adam and what Adam did? Do I want to be united to him? Do I want to be united to Adam and all that Adam stood for, the rebellion against God? Or do I want to combine myself, put myself under Christ, in Christ, Christ in me? Then that's where the power of the gospel comes alive. That's where the power of Jesus comes into our life. And so Paul's asking, in effect, you know, should I live as a son of Adam? when I have Jesus Christ? And the answer, Miguelito, absolutely not. Don't ever let it be. Why would I go back? Why would I want to ever have that old life? I want Jesus Christ. I want to be buried with him in his death. I want to be raised with him that I might live a new life. And for those of us who know the power of that new life, there, you know, when you have that, you just don't want to go back. You never want to forfeit. All you say is, more, Lord, please, more. More of that strength, more of that grace, more of that power to do what's right. It says, if we've been united with him like this in his death, we certainly also will be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So the idea of being planted together, and literally that's what we've been planted together with Jesus. When Jesus died, we were planted with him. And when Jesus rose, we rose. And what's really important is the idea of the old self being crucified. See, we've got to consider, we've got to think about our physical nature, the flesh, as that which has been crucified. That which Jesus died. Not just to forgive and not to gloss over what it is, but to crucify it. And we'll get to that in Romans 8, where he talks about mortifying the deeds of the flesh. But that has to be crucified. It has to be dead. You can't try to live a life that is both, you know, in Christ and in flesh. You need to be in Christ and in Christ and in Christ. And then he talks about the idea of not being a slave to sin any longer. And this word slave, it really has to do with serving. And we'll see next week the idea of how we can choose who we serve. But the idea of serving sin, right? This is not talking about making a mistake. Remember, he asked the question, should we remain in sin, which is now become our choice? We didn't have a choice without Christ. Without Christ, we had no choice. We were stuck in sin. We were in bondage to sin. We were slaves to sin. And there was no way out. And the whole Old Testament is filled with people. The best they could do was say, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. And that's it. So they would come with sacrifice after sacrifice. I'm sorry, I'm a sinner, God. I know it's bad. I know it's wrong. Here's a dead animal. And that could really have no impact on sin. So you just kept saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. In bondage to sin. But now, with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, with the crucifixion of my life before the Lord, I am now able to be free from sin. In other words, Jesus didn't come only to forgive my sins, but to free me from the power of sin, to free me from the domination of sin, to free me from its lasting impact, which is death. To free me from the separation that it caused, because, you know, it broke our relationship with God. And so he's saying that, you know, our identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ, our sitting under his headship, says that now I have a power, now I have a grace, now I have an authority in Christ to break those chains and to be free in Christ. And that's what God has called us to. That's what Christ has called us to, is to be not slaves any longer. Anyone who died, he said, we died with Christ, we're free from being a servant of sin. Now, I always try to remind you, the real difference here is the idea of whether or not you make a mistake or you live in the mistake. Being a slave to sin or a servant to sin is not when, you know, the pressure's on, you kind of can't take it anymore, and you blow up and you say a thing you shouldn't have said. Or, you know, you do something in a moment that you know, you didn't want to do, right? Those are mistakes. Now, it's still sin, It's still sin. It's not like we take it lightly. We pray about it. We say, God, I wish I want to do better than that. But that's not saying I'm submitting my life to sin. I am submitting myself to service to sin. That's saying I blew it. And there's a huge difference between making a mistake and living in a mistake. A person that lives in a mistake, they end up, in bondage to sin. They end up chained to the habits, chained to the things that are degrading to themselves and degrading to God, chained to things that make them less than a child of God. And it's the idea of willful service as well. It's not, you know, under the power of Christ, we have power to be free. Okay? If we go back, that's a real problem. We have to really be careful about going, you know. In other words, God freed me from things. God made me strong, right? If I see those things pop up, I better take control, not by my own, but by the power of Christ. I better take control. I better exhibit self-control and power in Christ to keep that at bay, to keep that under control. Paul said about his own body, he said, I make my body a slave, meaning that I am in control in Christ now to say no to the flesh, to say no to the body, and not just and never, ever say, well, I'm only human, and I can only do so much. That's a failure thing, right? That's like I'm signing up to say the power of Christ isn't powerful enough to change me. The gospel doesn't really work that deep. Yes, it does. The gospel works deep in our lives. It works deep in our hearts. And it gives us a strength to break those bondages and to remain free. The worst thing that we can do, you know, Hebrews 6 talks about this. The worst thing we can do is having been in Christ and found the grace and found the power in Christ, understood the word of God, and having that freedom, and then turn back and go back to the stuff. Man, once you do that, you've dug yourself a hole that you might never come out of, right? Okay. So now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. This is the idea. See, here's the thing. This is not about willpower. This is not about if I muster it up myself. Right, I talked about keeping your body in subject and you know, keeping it under control, making it a servant. But you can't do that without help. And so he says, now if we died with Christ, we believe we also live with Him. We will also live. Now that means, you know, where is Jesus? Jesus is alive. Is Jesus powerful? Yes. Is Jesus given us the Holy Spirit? Yes. Has Jesus given us the Word of God? Yes. Is that relationship a living relationship? When we mess up, who whispers in our ear, hey, you know what you just did? Right? Isn't it the Holy Spirit? Isn't it the Word of God? Isn't it Jesus behind us saying, hey, don't you go in that direction. You come back over here. Right? That's what, you know, so the idea that we live with Jesus, we walk with a living Savior, not just a book, not just some rules, I think so religion. We're living with Jesus. Jesus is living in us. And so, you know, we died with Him. We also live with Him. We know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. So again, that's the idea. I want to be alive in Christ. That's why, you know, I love to worship with you guys. I love to praise God. I love to experience the power of the Spirit. I love the idea of Christ coming and being, you know, with us, because I need His strength. I need Him as much as anybody needs Him. I need Him in me. I need Him to help me. I need Him to encourage me and strengthen me and to give me the power to do the next thing. He says, therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Don't let sin take over. That's, again, the worst thing we can say. Well, I'm just a human, or I just can only do so much. That kind of attitude is poison to the gospel. It's not about me. It's not about what I can do. It's about what Christ can do. It's about, you know, so if you ever start thinking about, you know, how, How much can God transform me? How much can God do to change my life? If I'm thinking about me and my abilities, can't do much, you know? I can't do much. But if I'm thinking about Christ, the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, the words that are His that never move and change ever, right? If I'm thinking about all that He's unleashed on my behalf, if I think about the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection, if I think about the power of the Holy Spirit inside of me, if I think about those things, I realize there's real power in God. There's real power in the gospel to make me stand, to make me able. And so He says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so you obey those desires. Don't offer your parts, your members of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. Some of you young people might know this verse. Do not offer the parts of your body as instruments of sin, of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the instruments of your body as instruments of righteousness. That's our fourth verse for learning the gospel. The idea is, again, you couldn't say that in the Old Testament. You could not talk about this in the Old Testament. You could not say, don't ever offer yourselves to sin. They couldn't help it. Why? They didn't have Jesus. They didn't have the resurrected Savior. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the gospel. All they could do was say, I'm sorry, and wait for the Messiah to come. We're looking back. We've seen the Messiah come. We saw Him in our hearts die on the cross. We've seen Him and know the power of His resurrection. And so now we have a power that can say, I do not have to offer myself to sin. I can live apart from sin. I can take control where I had no control before. Offer yourselves to God. It's the idea of the offering is the idea of a sacrifice. Later he uses the same words in Romans 12. Therefore, offer yourself, present yourself as a living sacrifice. Here he's saying, you know, my hands, what do I do with these hands? These eyes, these poor, weakened eyes. What do I do with these eyes, this mouth, this mind? You know, what do I do with these members, these parts that can go so wrong in a second, right? What do I do? Don't offer them. Now, again, offering means a willful presentation. This is not, you know, whoops, I shouldn't have done, you know. It's not a mistake. Offering. That means, you know, when you give an offering, you come and you present it. You lay it out. So I'm offering my members to sin. And you, look, we know what that's like. We've been there, right? Hopefully a while back, you know, but we've been there. We know what it's like to offer ourselves, our minds, our hearts, our thinking, everything to sin. We know what that's like. We know what it feels like. We know the depths of sickness that goes with that. And what Paul is trying to explain to us is, listen, don't do that. You have power in Christ. You're alive with Christ. So don't go willfully laying yourself out and saying, yeah, I'll just give this part of myself to sin. I'll keep the rest back for God. You know what kind of offering that makes? That makes a lame offering, right? You know, I'm going to bring a lame animal to God. No, you know, God wants us. He wants us to love Him whole heart, whole mind, strength, soul, all that we are. He doesn't want us saying, okay, I'll keep this part back for myself, or I'll keep this part back for sin. He wants us to be totally His. Jesus Christ gave us this power. He gave us this gospel that makes it possible for us then, under His headship, to be dead to sin, to be stronger than sin. We can be stronger, not because we're strong, but because He is strong in us, because we are under the new head. My Lord, my Savior, my King, my Sovereign is Jesus Christ. And under Him, right, I have that power. And I can then offer myself to God completely. Right? I can offer myself to God completely. Why? Because I'm no longer in bondage to the old things. And I can offer who I am, what I am, to God for His service. That's the transforming power of the gospel. It changes, you know, from chapter 5, chapter 6. It's who is the head of your life. Chapter 5, he contrasts Adam to Jesus. And you're either going to be under Adam or you're going to be under Jesus. You're either going to be trapped, enslaved, and dead in sin, or you're going to be alive in Christ, strong, able to sustain temptations, able to sustain the junk of the world, and stand in the name of God, stand in the name of Jesus, and be his person. That's what the gospel does. It's not weak. It's powerful. It's strong. It's mighty. And it is ours. It's our, above all, it is ours. This is the good news. God has given us what we need. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's praise the Lord and finish our day.